In this episode of Pop Culture Weekly, I talk with Matt Marr from Air and the Broken Lizard crew about their new film, Quasi. Let's go!
Welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon from iHeartRadio. Your pop culture news, views, reviews, and celebrity interviews on all the movies, TV, music, and pop culture you crave weekly. Here's Kyle McMahon.
Hello, and welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon. I, of course, am Kyle McMahon, and we have an awesome episode for you today, and I'm really, really excited about it. There's so much going on, and there's so much for me to tell you about, and that's why we're everywhere you are, whether it's video or audio, the podcast, on the radio, wherever you're listening around the world, blogs, social, you know, we got you covered. So I just try to put out as much as I can everywhere to get you all the news that you need in pop culture. So this week, I've got some awesome interviews. Air, which you saw my review about, and I love that film so, so much. It's such an incredible film. I talk with Matt Marr from Air. He plays Peter Moore. He is absolutely incredible in the film, brilliant, in fact. And I have a feeling he'll be up for a Best Supporting Actor award for award season from everywhere. Just a hunch that I get just because he's so awesome. And he's such a great guy. So I talk to him. And then I talk with the cast of Broken Lizard's Quasi. This film is so funny. If you like Super Troopers, Super Troopers 2, Club Dread, you'll love Quasi. It's really funny. It's more historical than stuff they've done before, which is really interesting in my point of view. And I asked them why that is. And so they talk about that and so much more. So I talk with Adrianne Palicki, who stars in the film, along with the Broken Lizard guys, Jay Chandrasekhar, Kevin Heffernan, Steve Lem, Paul Soder, Eric Stahelski, and as I said, their new film out, Quasi, is really, really funny. It's streaming right now on Hulu in celebration of 420, which is, you know what 420 is. We all know what 420 is. International Pet Your Bunny Day. So let's get right into it. Oh, let me also tell you, people ask me, what sources do I read, consume? I get my info from everywhere. Twitter. I mean, obviously, also my friends and contacts in the industry. I get press releases sent to me. I'm obsessed with pop culture just as you are. So I'm also on Twitter and Reddit and Apple News and Google News and everywhere. I also love Variety. That's an incredible website. Billboard for music. Obviously, it's the industry Bible. Deadline. I love Deadline. Absolutely love Deadline. Deadline is, they've got your TV, your film, theater. It's just breaking Hollywood news. So I love them. And we will be working with Deadline. I'm really, really excited about this. They have got some awesome talent over at Deadline, obviously. That's why they've been around since 2006. And I'm going to have some of the editors start coming on probably once a month or so. And we'll just talk about, what's going on in this industry that we love so much. Whether, it might be a special event that's going on. It might just be the state of whatever, summer content, whatever it is. So one of their great podcasts that I really, really love is called 20 Questions on Deadline. And it is literally, every episode, a star reveals their toughest moments, their best advice, biggest fears. It's 20 questions. It's hosted by Antonia Blythe, who is Deadline Senior Awards Editor. And they have some awesome, awesome guests. So if you like the guests we have, you'll love the guests that they have over on 20 Questions on Deadline. I think last week was Ralph Macchio. They've had Gary Oldman, Jason Segel, Jenna Ortega. Lots of great, great artists. I highly, highly recommend that you go and check it out. I will have 20 questions on Deadline in the show notes, so you can check them out as well. And of course, Deadline.com, they are breaking news throughout the day. I mean, 24/7, you know, they're breaking news. I love Deadline. All right. So let's get into, oh, I cannot forget this. How could I freaking forget this? I'm giving away 2 tickets to see Taylor Swift on the Eras Tour in Philadelphia. That's right. She's doing 3 sold-out shows in Philly, and I have your chance to win. Obviously, we're not providing transportation, so you got to get here yourself. But go to the website, popcultureweekly.com, and it'll redirect you to my national site. Then at the on that page, you'll see promotions. Click on that Taylor Swift picture for your chance to get 2 Taylor Swift tickets for the Eras Tour, brought to you by Pop Culture Weekly. I'm really excited about this. This is an awesome giveaway, and the contest is on right now. There's rules and all that stuff, which I'm sure you know, but you'll see all the rules and all that good stuff. You'll see it before you register to win, so you know if, you know what you're getting into. Phoebe Bridgers is opening up for her for the Philly shows. So it's May 12th, May 13th, and May 14th are the Philly shows. Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So I'm really excited for this giveaway. So go register to win. I hope you win. Good luck. And please, I've gotten already a gazillion messages, emails, angry tweets saying, please pick me. I don't pick it. I only see the winner. It's a software that does it. They don't allow me to touch the software, so it's fair, which I love. So I don't even see the names of people who's registered. iHeart, you know, does it. They send me the winner. I get to deliver the good news. That's my extent of picking a winner. I don't. Okay. So good luck to all of you. I'm really excited. And I'll see you there, too. I'll be there myself to see Tay-Tay on the Eras Tour. All right. So let's get into my interview with Matt Maher. You know, I loved Air. I love Air. It is one of the best films I've seen in a while. It really, really is an incredible film. You may have read my review. If you haven't, go to popcultureweekly.com and read my review on it. It's a really, really, really good movie. The performances by everybody, the writing. I mean, you already know how it's going to end, and you're still on the edge of your seat the whole time. It's so good. And Matt Maher is a big part of that. So let's get into my interview with him. Here he is, Matt Maher. Thank you for joining me. I really do appreciate it. I absolutely love Air. It is so good. I've got to say, I'm not a huge sports guy, and that doesn't matter with this film at all. It's done so beautifully in every single way, from, you know, the writing, the directing, the soundtrack, to the performances, right down to you. And so kudos on, you know, on that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad you like it. I'm not much of a sports guy either, really, or a sneaker guy.
Okay.
Hardly at all. My brother collects Air Jordan, but I was never that into it. But so I came into the experience really clean, but I really enjoyed working on it. It was really fun.
Yeah, it seems like one of those films that, you know, at least as a viewer, you know, you can tell sometimes when people really click, and it seems like all of you guys really, really clicked in this film.
Yeah, it was really... It was, you know, I've said this before, it's just like such an easy environment, you know. You just walked right in. Like, I had done some research, obviously, and I mean, he had just passed away, Peter Moore just passed away when the offer came. So I wasn't able to meet with him, but I did a bunch of research and so I had these ideas. But Ben, it was very important to Ben, I think, to create new characters, like to honor the people, but also like make a movie based on these people, but sort of like going forward and making interesting new people. And so suddenly, like, you know, Charlize's costumes, and I had this like big beard, which I had fully intended to like shave off because Peter Moore is like, oh, and Ben was like, no, I love the beard, leave the beard. I was like, okay. And Charlize had this like such a like specific visual idea, and I just was like, oh, I have this. As soon as I got there, like the character just sort of came together. And I was like, I have such a clear vision of a guy who lives in the suburban, you know, the suburbs of Washington, and like wears weird sweaters and has his thoughts. And it just, it's hard to articulate, but suddenly he just became a person, a new character, as soon as I arrived on set. And I was like, this character makes perfect sense to me. And all I need to do right now is just figure out how to say these lines. And it just worked out. And Ben was like, that's great. You know, it's very, not all creative processes are like that. It's, you know, you can't even try for a process like that. You just, every once in a while it happens and you're just grateful for it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I'm as a viewer, I'm grateful for that process too, because it really, really is. I was crying in the theater at the film. It's just so good. And, you know, for me, it's really, I lost my mom 2 years ago, almost to the day, to pancreatic cancer. And this really, for me, is a story of a mother's love, you know, and how on one side, and then on the other side, on how, you know, really thinking outside of the box. And being nimble, which is a buzzword I hear a lot, can, you know, and sticking to your kind of vision and your dreams can really get you somewhere. And that's very representative of, in my opinion, Michael Jordan's life as well, you know?
Yes, totally. And what I think is so interesting, and what surprised me when I actually saw the movie, which hadn't really clicked in for me, I was thinking of it in terms of my own character, who's going through a midlife crisis and is, you know, not himself very athletic and just has these like his own sort of process, and this moment presents itself and suddenly there's a way out to of like where he feels stuck. And what I think the reason what makes it successful is that like there is a connection between these like eternal people, these characters that like Michael Jordan or, you know, Patrick Ewing, you know, where we are like, these are like, they're like secular gods to us. Mm-hmm. You know, these people are like capable of great things, and we love them so much because we ourselves are getting older and we're gaining weight and our lives are complicated and sad, and they're not, there's joy and then there's also like death, you know, and all these things are happening. And I just thought like, well, you know, people get really into sports because it offers them a respite from thinking about, well, their own mortality. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the movie and I was like, oh my God, the movie is absolutely 100% about that, you know? And that's like, and the speech, Matt's speech at the end, which they sort of worked on and shaped, just like really just says that. And I think that is one of the reasons why people are connecting so deeply to it, is because it actually leaves room for our sadness mm-hmm. at our life and the joy at the same time, and sort of recognizes that joy and sadness are like the same thing, and that people, real sports fans, I think, actually understand that.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. And, you know, I've been working on the show since my mom passed called Death, Grief and Other Shit We Don't Discuss, where I went around the country and, you know, interviewed all different subject matter experts on the various facets of death and so ultimately life. And I think one of my biggest takeaways from doing that limited series is that you can't have happiness without sadness. You know, you can't have, so, you know, I'm putting it in terms of my mom. I think about this a lot. Would I, you know, going through, you know, it was horrible what she went through. And then what we went through, would I change any of that if it meant that I got to live my, you know, the life that I did previous to that with her? You know, right. And I wouldn't, you know, I couldn't have all of those happy, loving years. I wouldn't be going through this sadness so intensely if it wasn't for all of those happy moments and that lifetime of love that was given. You have to have one in order to have the other, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And like my, yeah, I lost my father.
I'm so sorry.
Yes. Likewise to you as well. And before my kids were born, he passed away in 2016 and my first kid was born in 2019. And my second just like 8 months ago. And my love for them, they're both boys, is like when I really contemplate it, I cannot contemplate it without also being sad that my dad is not there. Like they cannot, one cannot, they're joined, mm-hmm. those feelings. Joy at my kids and the sadness of not having my dad, they're the same, they're resting in the same place, you know? And both are get bigger and more real and more comforting in a way, because even then the sadness feels like, I mean, you know, what I've been saying for years about both losing a parent and having kids is that they're the two craziest things that can happen to you. And it's insane that they happen to, that the losing a parent anyway happens to actually everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every single person loses parents. Isn't it appalling that like everybody is going through this in some way? It's insane to contemplate. Like that I can't get through my head, that the one thing that I went through in my life that was the most difficult thing and also, you know, the saddest thing was also the thing that literally I have in common with every other person on earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy to me.
I can't
process that. And I feel the same way about having kids. Not everybody has kids. But it's crazy that we just have kids, you know, and that we're in charge of like raising them and making them better. It's insane. Like, it's so difficult and so phantasmagorically wonderful and hard that, like, I'm like, this is common. Like, all these people are walking around having babies. it boggles the mind, you know. I sort of went far afield from what you're saying, but I connect with what you mean, the good joy and the sadness, and I do think that sense of joy and sadness, especially as it connects to middle age, where I am personally, you seem like a younger man, that's part of why people are really loving the movie.
Yeah. I mean, it really does. It gives me, it kind of, as I'm sitting there in this, you know, theater, I'm, which is what great art does, in my opinion, it kind of made me think as the credits started rolling, like, I need to, you know, I see Ben's characters, his kind of life motto for the business on the wall. And I'm like, I need to write mine down, you know, like, right. Just all of these things that I'm like, it's just such a great movie on every single level. And it's, in my opinion, a very, very special film. You know, before I went into it, you know, you think, oh, it's going to center around Michael Jordan and all that sort of thing. You know, as I heard that it was being made and all. And I love the way that they handled that, you know, it's almost secondary. And then we all know the outcome of the film. We all know what the ultimate ending of the film is going to be, but it has us on the edge of our seats the entire time, which is such a special thing to do.
Yeah. It's very clever that way. Actually, a lot of sports movies are based on true stories that where you end up sort of reliving this event. I mean, when I watched The Last Dance, I was like, oh, there's no way the Bulls are going to win a third title. That's impossible. They should walk away. But that is the key, or like in theater, you know, tragedies like Hamlet or A Doll's House, where like they definitely die at the end. Like, when it's well done, when you connect on a human level, or when I think it's done with heart, and I think Matt and Ben engaged in this movie you know, I don't know the deep, well, deep, but they brought to it a lot of their own heart, you know. And it's worth, I always thought, one thing I did think going into it is, like, these events were occurring when I was in high school, when we were all, because we all went to high school together, and they were in high school, and that is just right around the time in their life that they were like, I have a thing that I want to do, and I'm going to risk everything to do it. And I think it is crazy that they did it, you know, like, they really did it. Like, they have had dreams of becoming famous actors, and they did it, like, more than most other famous actors, you know. And I think that is also kind of a crazy thing to have happen to you, you know, to get everything that you want and to become an iconic figure in your own field, you know. I think that's almost in its own way kind of traumatizing is the wrong word, but you need, I think they're still working through in some way the fact that they were dreaming in the same period of time that the movie is set of this, like, really big dream, and decided to gamble a lot to make it happen, and then pay off. And I think, like, one of the things, they have not said this or in interviews or to me, but a theory I have is that they're working through those feelings in some way. They're working through that event and, like, in the most human way possible, you know, by focusing on, like, human beings who are basically have already failed a lot already before they even come to this moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love when people say, talk about overnight success. You know, somebody, we were talking about my show, and they were like, oh, it's all happened so quick for you with the show. And I'm like, no, it didn't. You know what I mean? I failed so many times before it started getting traction, and you're seeing, you know, that part of it, but you weren't seeing the years of, you know, my old show and you know, retooling and me working until 3 a.m., you know, five nights a week trying to perfect everything. And that overnight success is like, doesn't really exist. You know, people just see, oh, the movie stars, Matt and Ben, and they don't see all of the heartache and tears and blood and sweat, and yourself as well, where, you know, you worked so hard for so long that then when it happens, it may seem, you know, to some that it's kind of this overnight thing or whatever, but it really is a lifetime's worth of work into that.
Yeah. And success is as complicated as failure in a way, you know, in a way, because I was talking about this just with a friend just around the success of the movie, where you're always like, oh God, I really just want to, you know, one of your goals as an actor is to be in a hit movie, you know? And I've done TV, and I've been in other things and a lot of theater that have done very, very well. But this feels like a particular, like, this movie is going to be a really big hit. And it weirdly is, like, great. I feel happiest when I think about Matt and Ben and how hard they've worked, and that how present they are in their own achievement. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I've known them for decades, and I just feel particularly happy for them. Even though they've had many other successes, I just feel happy for all their successes. For some reason, I just feel like, wow, a very warm feeling for them around this movie. You know what I mean? That they've been working hard for decades, really trying, putting their heart into their work. And they have found, again, after, you know, just a way of putting their heart out there, and people are connecting to it. And that, I think, is very meaningful. And it's easier for me to be happy for them than it is be happy for me, because when you're inside of it, oh, you know, I have people coming up being like, Air, it's amazing. Hey, hey. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, I just got up at 6 this morning with my kids, and I returned some email. Like, my life is sort of the same, you know?
Right.
Success is a sort of abstract thing in terms of, like, you know, I had a really good time working on the movie. That was its main reward, you know?
Yeah, I love that, and I love that you're in touch, you know, with that. Did you feel any responsibility to, playing a real person? Yeah.
I did at first. It was the first time playing a real person. It was the first time I had ever played a real person. And so I was like, oh, shit, you know, this is. Oh, I'm sorry if I
cursed. You're totally fine.
I was like, this is a big deal. And then I looked at documentaries. I'm like, I don't really look that much like Peter Moore, you know. But whatever. Okay. You know, Matt and Ben want me to be in this movie. Ben and Matt want me to be in this movie. And so whatever, it doesn't matter. And then I showed up on set and I had this like kind of big beard. And I assumed I was going to shave it off, but I didn't want to shave it off until I got to set so that they could like do whatever they want. And Ben was like, I love the beard. Keep the beard. I love it. And I'm like, okay, there's nothing beard-like about Peter Moore, as far as I can tell. And then Charlize like hooked up all these like hilarious, like awesome costumes, these sort of print sweaters. And suddenly this whole new character sort of like appeared like around me of this, like I was saying before, like a sort of suburban, eccentric suburban dad type who's like, you know, living like a very Pacific Northwest sort of brainy guy who lives in like a nice house with his wife and has this whole life, but is in fact secretly like, he's locked into the thing because he's always been obsessed with basketball shoes and now he designed basketball shoes. Like, and that there's that idea. And so there's Peter Moore, the real person who was a genius and did many great things. And then there's Peter Moore, the character in this movie, who's playing a particular role in the narrative, you know? So it's like, did Sonny Vaccaro, like, was he contemplating his own mortality when he signed Michael Jordan? Who knows? And the movie doesn't care, right. You know? Like, maybe the closest person, the closest performance that's like closest to real life is probably Viola Davis as Dolores, just because, you know, she is like, speaking, she sort of almost seems to be in her performance and when she's written, like speaking from the real world. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys are having all these feelings, but I am in the real world. And Michael Jordan is actually my son. And we are talking about actual business decisions. And, you know, and that, I think, is also a very clever choice. But in general, even her, I think, were characters in a movie, and a story that Ben is really interested in telling, you know.
For you, finally, you know, trying to be as spoiler-free as possible, your character, really many of the characters, there comes a point where you realize that this is your chance. This, you know, this is your opportunity to really go all in, and it could change your life. What was that moment, either personally or professionally, for you in your life, if there has been one?
I think, you know, there goes moments. It's cyclical. Those moments sort of come for me like every few years, where it's just like, Matt, okay, what do you think about this? Okay, so Matt, this is what you want. Are you going to do it? And for me, it was moving to New York, you know, in 20s. And then a few years later, it was like quitting my day job, you know, after I had some success in the theater. I was like, well, if I want to start doing more TV and movies and not just like tiny parts, I'm going to have to become available and not have like this office job, which I actually really enjoyed. Let that go. And then it's, are you going to go to L.A.? And so then a few years later, I went to L.A. And then, you know, 9 months after that, it's like, are you going to get the fuck out of L.A.? Because you hate it here. And I was like, yeah, I am. And I'm going to go back to New York and recommit. And then it was, you know, are you going to have children? Are you going to have, recommit to this thing that you want? Like, so there was never one moment. Those specific moments really... Those are some specific moments that where you just have to where you are going along, and you become aware of like what it is you have already been doing. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, okay, so are you going to be consciously do this thing and really do it with your whole self, or are you going to kind of phone it in? And so I've always been like, okay, stopping phoning it in. Make a difficult choice to try and honor these decisions that you're kind of already making. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's so beautiful. Matt, thank you so much for speaking with me. I could talk to you forever. Air is absolutely stunning. Your performance is so amazing. And you deserve all of this success and more. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I really enjoy talking to you.
Me as well. Please come back for your next project.
Okay, I will.
Awesome, awesome, awesome guy. Isn't he such a nice guy, such an incredible actor. I can't wait till his award, he gets his flowers this award season, because I'm telling you, mark my words right now, he is going to be nominated for everything. All right, we're going to go to break, which allows me to continue delivering this show. We'll be back in one moment. All right, next up. So Quasi, you heard me talk about it before. Such a really funny movie. It's out streaming right now on Hulu. And if you love Broken Lizards like I do, you will love this film, Quasi. It basically follows a hunchback who is looking for love, but he gets himself in the middle of a deadly feud between the Pope and the King of France when they kind of order to kill each other. So it's really, really funny. You know, Broken Lizard, the comedy troupe, they formed their comedy troupe at Colgate University back in 1989 and, you know, would just do skits and sketch comedy around campus. And they all were members of the same fraternity, Beta Theta Pi. And then they started doing short videos under the name Charred Goosebeak, which, you know, they now are known as Broken Lizard. And then they went on to produce all kinds of stuff. You know, they have Puddle Cruiser, Super Troopers, Club Dread, which I love. It's like a take on the kind of horror-ish horror genre. Dukes of Hazzard, which Jay directed from 2005, that starred Johnny Knoxville, Sean William Scott, and Jessica Simpson. And, of course, all of the Broken Lizards troupe did cameos in the film. They did Beer Fest, love that movie. The Slammin' Salmon, Super Troopers 2 back in 2018, and now Quasi. So I'm really excited for this interview. We're going to start, before we talk to Broken Lizard, we're going to start with Adrienne Palicki. She plays the queen in the film. She plays the queen in the film, hysterically funny. I love her in this. She was Miss Perkins in John Wick. She played Lady J in G.I. Joe Retaliation. And for a very long time, she starred as Tyra Collette in Friday Night Lights. Also, for you fellow MCU fans, she was Bobby Morse, a.k.a. Mockingbird, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and for you sci-fi and comedy fans like myself, she plays Commander Kelly Grayson in The Orville. So she's awesome. Let's get right into my interview with Adrienne Palicki.
Thank you so much for joining me on iHeartRadio's Pop Culture Weekly. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. I love the film. I think it's hysterical and you are great. The whole cast is great. But I got to ask you, what was it like to do Quasi?
It was honestly one of the most amazing experiences of my entire life.
Wow. Awesome.
It was so fun. I was petrified going in. You know what I mean? I'm walking into the den of these guys who've been working together forever and are hilarious and already have this relationship and feel comfortable with each other. But from the moment I met them, it was like, boom, 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 chemistry. They made me feel like I had been with them the whole time, you know? And it lent itself to make this really fun movie that I literally at night didn't want to go home. I wanted to keep, you know, doing shit.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, you know, you can't, it's hard to call it work. I feel like the same doing my job. Like it's hard to call it work when I love what I do. You know what
right.
I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
Makes such a big difference.
I got to dress up and I got to, you know, live out my childhood dream of being Princess Buttercup. So it's like, you know.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, your character is very much a centerpiece of this film. As you're reading the script, were you, you know, were you like, as you said, you know, it's there's a lot of history to her in many ways in, you know, kind of the lens of the historical part of this film. Was that like, as you're reading this, are you like, oh my God, this is so cool? Like, were you like fanboying out?
Totally. I was like, this is literally my dream. Also, these guys can really write for a woman, which is also shocking because not many can. So I love that she's always the smartest person in the room. She's like, come on, guys. Come on, let's do this. Okay. I know I'm a woman, but so, you know, she tells it like it is and I like her.
Yeah, she is awesome. And, you know, as I talked to the guys earlier and they were telling me how they originally saw themselves as a Monty Python-esque group, where I didn't realize that a few of them were actually history majors. And so they were interested in telling, like, you know, a historical story that they never were able to get greenlit before. And now they're able to do that, you know, from you being kind of quote outsider of Broken Lizard in that regard. Did you see that with them where like they're like nerding out to finally get to do this like passion project?
Absolutely. And even when I got on the phone with them, I was like, it feels like Monty Python, which I grew up loving. Like Holy Grail was, you know, a staple in my home. So seeing it and just reading it, I'm like, this is what they're tapping into. And they were so excited that I got it. But also I didn't realize that they had written at the same time they'd written Super Troopers. Like that's how long ago. And this is how, like, this is their passion project. And seeing them all just to play different characters, it was just so fun. They're the best people in the world. They don't fight, they don't argue. I mean, they my bigger like brothers, but they just have this great feeling about them. And all the people that work with them, like the crew, have been working with them for years. And some of them are family members. Like it just feels like you're just playing.
Yeah.
I'm playing pretend right now. I can't believe I'm getting paid for this.
Did you, you know, they have a very successful niche, particularly with their improvisation. Did you get the chance to do that as well?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And how was that?
Like, I feel like it was almost like a prerequisite, but that was the thing that was, I walked into petrified about the fear of like, oh God, I haven't done this in years. And again, just that comfortability, the way that they just bring you in and make you feel like it's a big warm hug and you're safe. And so, you know, it was like after day one, I was like, all right. Here we go. Blah, 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 blah. And some of it stuck. And like, that's cool too. That makes you feel good. You're like, okay, I can do this. This is great.
That's so cool. And how do you, you know, I always wondered, how do you, like, on a film like that where you have a script, how do you improvise, like, for you in particular? Like, are you just whatever kind of comes to your head that you just kind of say, or how does that work? I feel like I would be so nervous that I'd want to rehearse my improvisations. You know what I mean?
Well, absolutely. But, you know, I think that's the thing with comedy, especially that kind of thing. If you overthink it, it feels stale. I think we shot everything that was on the paper. On the page, but then it was like, okay, we got that. Let's play. And sometimes I'd be reading it, I'd be like, okay, that might be a funny thing to say there. But most times it was just about listening because you never knew what they were gonna do. So it's just like, you know, okay, all right, I can play with this. You know what I mean? They say something, then it's like, okay, just listen and instinctually don't think about it. It's like, just leap.
I really love that. And, you know, so I was talking to Nick Cannon the other day, who I admire greatly for all of the different kind of things that he does. And as him and I were talking, I'm like, wow, I'm like, you know, I'm interviewing somebody on my show that kind of does something that I aspire to do, you know, in all the, he's so successful in so many of the various things he does. for you, you know, I was thinking about this, for you, when you're with this, you know, these comedy, you know, I mean, legends in so many ways where, you know, they've done all these great projects, Super Troopers and Club Dread and all. Did you kind of find yourself like, you know, kind of taking notes at some of their comedy style or what have you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The thing too about the way that they work is every time there would be changes in the script, whether it was like one joke, two jokes, whatever, we'd have another table read. So it was so fun to get to sit and watch them go through their process. And then they would sit there and they'd riff and they'd be like, okay, well, maybe this will be funnier here. Maybe this will be funnier here. And so that happened constantly. And I think that was probably why I felt so comfortable by the day I walked on set to say like, whatever, you know what I mean? To have that improv moment, because that watching their process, watching how they work and getting a sense of that already kind of played into all that comfortability.
I love that, you know, and it is, I always enjoy the process of seeing other people that do what I do, watching them, just because, you know, I can always learn something. And I love that they, because it seems to be, from my understanding, kind of rare that that if you're not one of the writers to kind of be in that situation. And it seems awesome, like, you know, as an actor and especially a successful one like yourself, to be able to then kind of go in that other side, if you will, and take part in that part as well.
Absolutely. And that's such a great way to put it. Cause yeah, like actors don't tend to be in the writer's room. The writers will be there to table read, to take notes and make the changes, but they're not talking about it there. And because they're the writers, directors, producers, actors, all of them in the movie, I get to be privy to see, yeah, the makings of how it all goes down and how they make it better and actually be a part of it. Be like, hey, maybe they say that thing there.
Yeah. And will you take that to your future projects? Like, can you see some of what you learned in doing Quasi? Can you see yourself making any, you know, things that you kind of picked up that you like, that you're like, you know what, I'm going to do that for my next project?
I mean, maybe, you know, I've written a couple of scripts with my writing partner and whatnot. They're not comedies though, so that, you know, a little different. But even just the directing style is somebody who would want to direct at some point. You know, watching Hef, he's so amazing. He's so put together. He has it all. You know, as funny as that guy is, he was really like, he kept things in motion and there were a lot of moving parts. And the guys would have to get changed back and forth sometimes twice in a day. Wow. So to see how all that worked and how he did it with such grace, I'm like, okay, those are things that I'm going to take in the future.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for speaking with me. I can't wait till everybody sees Quasi, which streams exclusively on Hulu on April 20th, which is, of course, National I Love Donuts Day. So,
of course. Yes. Everybody
knows that. Thank you so much.
Adrienne Palicki, love her. She is great in this film. She's great in everything she does, but she's especially funny in Quasi. All right, let's get into it. Right, let's just jump right into it. Broken Lizard Troop. Here they are. Jay Chandrasekhar, Kevin Heffernan, Steve Lem, or LeMay, Paul Soder, and Eric Stahelski. Broken Lizard.
Thank you, everyone, for joining me. I really appreciate it. I love this film, Quasi. I've got to ask, Jay, I'll start with you. What when you're trying to decide a topic, you know, as you're writing, what drew you to this?
Well, we were, you know, some of us were history majors. And so we also thought at the time, which, you know, we wrote this very early in Broken Lizard's existence, like 3 or 4 years into it. So we thought we would be more like Monty Python, and we thought we'd make a Monty Python style movie. So we set it in France and we did the whole thing. But the budget of it was always too high for us to ever, you know, raise the money privately. And no studio was like willing to do it until we eventually Fox Searchlight, who makes a lot of period pieces, said, oh yeah, we'll make this movie. I mean, it's been like 30 years in the making.
I love that. And Kevin, for you, obviously you guys have all worked together for a long time, but when you have a cast like this, you know, what is it like as a director on that side of it to kind of wrangle these guys together for their various roles?
Well, I mean, we've been doing it together for so long that there's just a secondhand, you know, communication. And we've gotten to the point where we're so comfortable with each other that it makes it simple to improvise and to, you know, do fun things on the set. So it's also kind of a support group, you know, in the sense that, you know, everyone's got your back, you know, there's no wolves on the set, you know, we're all friends. So it just makes it a very comfortable atmosphere to work in.
Right. You never have to tell the actors what their character's motivation was. Cause you're like, yeah, no shit, dude. I wrote it. Yeah. Yeah. So all five of us can say that. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's not many, you know, there's not many groups that really are able to say that for films, especially regularly like that. How do you find, you know, especially as we said, you're working, you know, so closely with each other for such a long time. Do you ever find yourself just, you know, unable to rein yourselves in, or is that not a problem?
You know, it's not a problem. In fact, it's in the beginning of our careers when we made our first movie, Puddle Cruiser, we were shooting on film and we had no money. You had like one or two takes. And so it was, you know, almost no improv. And if you were going to improvise, you better be damn sure that it's good. And as our careers have gone on and we've, you know, gotten bigger budgets and now, you know, we don't shoot on film anymore, it's actually nice because all the pressure is off. You can just roll and you can improvise and you can riff and have fun and do whatever you want and then figure it out in the editing room. So it's actually, I think it's pretty liberating now
but there's still a, you know, an attitude of trying to improvise within the character, within the scene, rather than just saying any old thing.
You also get what's on the page first and then you can riff after that.
I love it. It obviously is working, you know, both on both ends for you guys and for viewers like myself. I can't wait for everybody to see Quasi exclusively on Hulu on 420, which, of course, is, as everybody knows, National Dog Day. So thank you all. And thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Broken Lizard. Love those guys. Love their work. Love Quasi. It is available right now on Hulu exclusively. Go watch it. Let me know what you think. And, you know, in celebration of 420 International Pet a Bunny Day, go pet a bunny and watch it. And believe me, you're going to love it. Then let me know what you think. Send me your bunny petting. Send me your tweets after you've watched it and you're all bunny petted up. All right, that is our show for today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for hanging out with me and always being awesome. I love you. I can't do Pop Culture Weekly without you. You make this show what it is. All right, I'll see you next week. I love you. Oh, no, not next week. There's another special episode. I'm sorry. There's another very special episode coming out right away, very soon, with the cast of Evil Dead Rise. Love that movie. Oh my God, it is brutal in a really good way. All right, I love you. See you next time. We out.
Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Weekly. Hear all the latest at popcultureweekly.com.
Thank you for listening to my show. Hey, yeah. You've been listening and makes me happy. My heart is true. You're kind and confident.